So the Torah tells us, "Lo samod al dam reyecha." One cannot stand by idly when your fellow neighbor is in danger. So on one hand, we know we have an obligation to help someone when they're in need. On the other hand, we also know there's a prohibition of suicide, of doing something to injure yourself and ultimately to kill yourself. So on one hand, though everyone agrees to when you could, if you could help someone and there's no risk to yourself, then of course it's a no-brainer, of course one is obligated. And everyone agrees if it's a suicide mission, one is not obligated to do it. The question is, how much risk is one obligated to take to endanger their own life in order to save someone else, which is relevant to infectious diseases or organ transplants. By that I mean living organ transplants, like giving a kidney, giving something else. How much risk is one obligated, permitted to take in order to do that? So there's a famous Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud. They quote from the Tziv, quotes the Yerushalmi in Perek Zayin, that talks about Rav Imi. Rav Imi was taken captive. They took hostages, they kidnapped him. They weren't asking for a ransom. They were going to kill him. So the question was, if you don't do anything, then he's going to die. But to go in and take a chance to get him out, it's a very serious risk. So Rav Yochanan said, let's bring out the tachrichim. Let's bring out the shrouds. What can we do? That's it, he's going to die, and let's just deal with reality. And Rav Resh Lakish, who in his former life, they say he was a bank robber, so he went down into his basement, he found his machine gun or whatever guns they have today. He went and said, I'm going to go and either we're both coming out or we're both dying. So I think this story ended well. But that's the machlokes between Resh Lakish and Rav Yochanan in terms of whether one is obligated. So people learn the Yerushalmi following the opinion of Resh Lakish, the Yerushalmi writes, at least that one is perhaps obligated to risk one's life to save someone else. By you doing nothing, he's definitely going to die. And so the Beis Yosef quotes this at the last Beis Yosef in Choshen Mishpat, the Magen Mishnah, what's the reason for the Yerushalmi? They borrow a Dine Mamonos term, a term used in monetary issues, that we know that ain suffik motzi midei vadai. That's why, because if I do nothing, he'll definitely die. If I go in, maybe I'll die, maybe I won't.
If you go in, maybe you'll both die, and him.
What?
If you go in, if it sounds failing, if it fails, then he'll die and you'll die.
No, right, I know, but I'm saying definite.
Yes.
I'm saying if you do nothing, so then that person will definitely die. Yes. If I go in, I may or may not die. So therefore, ain safik motzi midevad is therefore they have chiyuv to go in. That's the way they learned the Jerusalem Talmud. So is that normative halacha? Is that the way we assume, like the Jerusalem Talmud, that one is obligated to risk one's own life to save someone else? Again, at the moment, I'm only talking about one-on-one. Yes. By one-on-one, I mean you're risking one life to save one life.
Yes.
Perhaps risking one life to save 100 lives could be different, and maybe to save Klal Yisrael could be different. We'll get into it.
Like in Tibi,
Right, and they point out, and it could be also, it's different if it's your job to do it. Let's say you're a doctor, that might be different also. I'm talking about this someone that's not their job, I mean, it's everyone's job to say, but it's not a specific job you have. Then you might have to take on a higher level risk if it is your job. So, is the Yerushalmi normative halakha? So, for a couple of reasons, perhaps. Number one, we point out it's a debate in the Yerushalmi. Maybe we don't follow Resh Lakish. Maybe we go with Rav Yochanan, who said you don't have to do anything. And Rav Moshe writes, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, even if we assume that Resh Lakish is the appropriate opinion, that doesn't mean it's normative halacha. There's a concept in halacha of midas chasidus, doing more than you have to. So Yerushalmi could be describing Resh Lakish was a great person. He was willing to do more than he had to, more than the average, and he went and did, but doesn't say the average person has to go do it. And thirdly, they quote from the Sefer HaChasidim, that there's another debate that the leader of a generation, a big Torah scholar, a prominent person, certain times he has the status of a rabbim, he has the status of many. In other words, this person is so important to the Jewish people that he doesn't discount, even though physically he's one person, but he does so much. So Ravimi, who was taken captive, was a great individual, so maybe the average person you wouldn't have to save. So people say you can't quote this Yerushalmi as normative halacha, because even if we go with Reish Lakish, doesn't mean you have to. All it shows is, according to Yerushalmi, one is allowed to, which, you know, that one is allowed to, but it wouldn't say that one is, you can't prove that one is obligated. And we have a more fundamental question to discuss. Who says we follow you, Yerushalmis? We know the Talmud Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud, was written after. And the commentators tell us, so we don't automatically categorically reject the Jerusalem Talmud, but if the Jerusalem Talmud is going against the Babylonian Talmud, then we go with the latter. The assumption is when they wrote the Babylonian Talmud, they knew the Jerusalem Talmud, and they incorporated all the things they wanted to. So if you just have a Yerushalmi versus nothing, then follow the Yerushalmi. But if you have a Babylonian Talmud against, so then we normally go with the Bavli because it came afterward. So, and in fact, the Beis Yosef I mentioned, that's Rav Yosef Cairo. He's the one who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. He brings this down in his famous work, Beis Yosef, which is the house, that's a work on the Torah, which is a halakhic word. But he also wrote the Shulchan Aruch. And there is no mention of this halakha in the Shulchan Aruch. So the question is, what can we glean from this? The fact he wrote it in the Beis Yosef, but when he was writing the Shulchan Aruch, he never put it in. So the question, what does he really hold? Is the Beis Yosef? We want to know what the Rav Yosef Cairo thinks. Do you look at the Beis Yosef, his original work, or do you look at the Shulchan Aruch? So, someone would say the fact it's not in the Shulchan Aruch, that shows we don't follow that opinion. And others say no. Look at the Beis Yosef himself tells us, why did he write the Shulchan Aruch? If he wrote this tremendous work on the tour, a major halakhic work, tons and tons of pages, everything. Why did he write a Shulchan Aruch for? So he himself tells us. There's two reasons. Number one is, the Beis Yosef is way too long. If someone wants to go just find what the halacha is, you know, you need the monarch notes. Like how you know you're going to read the whole book. I need to answer the question in the next 2 minutes. I can't read a whole book and figure it out. Let's take a quick look. And therefore, he says, it's much shorter, so therefore it's easier to review. You can review it all the time. And also, he wrote it for kids. Like, the adults in the room can't read the Beis Yosef. It's too complicated. All the Gemaras, let's keep it simple, stupid. You know, the KISS principle. And therefore, that's for the Hamonam. But if you really want to know what's going on, you have to look at the Beis Yosef. So again, it's different opinions how the fact that something is put in the Beis Yosef but not later put in the Shulchan Aruch, does not necessarily prove we don't follow that opinion. So we still have to find then, so right now we still have a Yerushalmi, which at least tells us that one, it's praiseworthy to do, at least you're permitted to do it. But unless we can find the Bavli in the opposite direction. So let's go through Shas and find some Bavlis, or potentially find some. The Gemara in Nida tells us the following case. I think it's Rabbi Tarfon. That the case was that there was a call, there was a rumor out that these people, Jewish people, the government, the non-Jewish government, were looking to capture these Jewish people on the run. They were going to kill them. So they went to Rav Tarfon, could you hide me? You know, could you hide me from the government? So, again, different ways of warning the Gemara. The way somebody's showing him warning is, he says, what could I do? He says, you know, if I don't hide you, they're going to kill you. But if I do hide you and they find us, they're going to kill me and my family. So he chose not to. So we see from Rabbi Tarfon, we see the Gemara in Nida, that one is not obligated to risk one's own life to save someone else. That's why Rabbi Tarfon did not hide these people who came to him. Another potential Gemara is, the Gemara says, a famous Gemara in Baba Metzia, where someone is out in the Midbar, in the desert, and you only have one cup of water, one pitcher of water. So, You have enough water, let's say it's a three-day journey. You have enough water for you to get back to civilization or till you find some more water. But you're there with a friend, or maybe not a friend, you're there with someone else, and if you share the water, there's not going to be enough water for both of you. So there's a debate with Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, Chayecha Kodmin, your life takes precedence. There is some limits to V'ahavta L'reyecha Kamocha. We know there's a famous saying in the Bible, love your neighbor like yourself, and you have to treat someone. However, there's limits. So up until that point, you have to treat people like you, but if it's an issue of life or death, Chayecha Kodmin, he quotes a pasuk, V'chayachicha Imach, I believe in Parshas Bahar, which we learn out that one does not have to give up their own life in order to save someone else. In other words, and the other opinion says, I think Ben Petira was, who says it's usher. He says, no, he didn't say it. So he says, what's the point? He says that better. No, he says better that you know it's a nice bumper sticker. Better two people die than one. You know, I think isn't that the saying of the Catholic Church? Better two deaths than one murder when it came to abortion. We agree in principle with that statement, but not in reality. We hold it's not murder, but in true, it could be two deaths are better than one murder, but abortion to save the mother's life is a mitzvah, it's an obligation, it's not murder. So, but the saying, that's what he says here. He says, how could I stand by and watch my friend die? I have to go in and share the water and whatever happens. So the question is, does that make any sense? Two people die over one? How could that be Ben Petira's opinion? So then the Siv explains the Gemara, what the Machlokas is. The really, in Svara, everyone agrees with Ben Petira. In words, one should have to, you know, risk one's life. The case is like this. The case is, let's assume you have enough water for 3 days for one person and you two. So, the question is, you don't know. You might find water in another hour from now. You might find, the rescue committee might come and get you. You know, it's a suffix. You don't know. Basically, if you do nothing, if you just keep the water, so for sure, you know, and for 3 days, he's going to die, the other person. But you don't know. Maybe tomorrow, you're going to find more water. So it's okay. The question is, are you allowed to risk one's own life to save someone else? So that's what Petira says. Yeah, it's only a risk. Ein safek motzim idei vadai. Go ahead and share the water, and hopefully you'll find some more water later. You're going to watch your friend die? How could you do that? And Rabbi Akiva agrees in principle with him. But he says, what could I do? There's a pasuk in the Chumash. V'chei achicha imach, that I'm obligated, my life comes. So in Svara, he would agree with Ben Petir, but the Lamaisa, he can't based on the pasuk. So again, we have another Bavli that says one is not obligated to risk one's life. We have the Gemara where Rabbi Tarfon didn't risk his own life and family to save someone else. And Rabbi Akiva, the famous case in Bava Metzia, there's another Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara talks about two psukim. There's a pasuk, as we started off, Osamu Adam Reyach, you can't stand by idly when your friend's in danger. And there's another pasuk, Vahashe Bosalo. We know from Uncle Maishi, there's a song, Hashavas Aved, that if you lose a lost object, there's a mitzvah to return it. So the Gemara says, Kal v'chomer, how much more so? If someone loses their wallet, you have to return it. If they're about to lose their life, how much more so? You got to return the life to them. So the Gemara cites two verses why one is obligated to save someone's, you know, without any danger or whatever. So the question is, what do we need two verses for? This tell me one. So the Gemara goes on to say that you learn out that, let's say someone's drowning in the river, in an ocean, and you're there, but you don't know how to swim, but you do have money, and there's someone else there who does know how to swim. You're obligated to take money and pay the lifeguard or whoever to go and save the guy. That's what the Gemara says. So comes along the Bin Chassin, he asks, why didn't the Gemara say a bigger chiddush? Say, I have to go even to risk my own life, and I might drown, I'm obligated to go in. In fact, the Gemara did not give that option, implies that one is not obligated. And there's one more Gemara I'll conclude with, and then we'll have to continue Sunday morning for the conclusion. But this town A and town B, town A has enough water for drinking and laundry. and town B has no water. Let me point out, it's not like today. It's like if you didn't do your laundry, you get diseases, everyone's going to die. So it wasn't like it's just some extra water. So the question is town A obligated to give up their water for town B? So again, it's a discussion in the Gemara, but we'd assume no, the town A is not obligated because they don't have to risk their own life with infectious disease and everything else. So again, so we see from the... So clearly we have a machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi seems to say one is obligated. The Bavli says one is not. We'll have to continue on what the conclusion is.
What about the Maharami Ratzfeld situation where he was in jail?
Right, go on.